Why don't you take your Bibles tonight, if you would, and open them up to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We're going to read just a couple of verses to get us started tonight. I'm going to speak on the subject tonight, how to lose and not be a loser. How to lose and not be a loser. And you're going to have to pardon me because I'm going to go back to my childhood, and I'm going to use something that I loved when I was growing up to introduce my sermon tonight and then to illustrate it going forward. I'll tell you what that is in just a minute. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8. And we'll read down just three verses, down through verse 10. Here's what the Bible says. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. When I was growing up, I loved baseball. I liked to play it, and I liked to listen to it on the radio. In fact, when I was a kid, I liked to keep score of the games. Not only when I went, but when I listened to it on the radio. My grandfather, my Grandpa Manning, loved baseball, and I can remember the Sunday afternoons that we would go over to their house after a dinner of fried chicken, mashed potatoes, green beans, creamed corn, coleslaw, and cornbread, and banana pudding for dessert. It was the same every Sunday. And Brother Leonard, I didn't have any problem that it was the same every Sunday. Grandpa and I, he was smart man, because we'd go up and start the dishes, and then his daughter-in-laws and all the nieces would come up and say, "Grandpa, you don't need to do the dishes." And so they would excuse us from the kitchen, and we'd go into the living room, and he'd sit in his chair, and I'd lay down on the floor in front of him. We'd turn on the baseball game. Pee Wee Reese and Dizzy Dean were the announcers, Sunday afternoon baseball. And he would usually fall asleep in his chair, and I would sit there and, you know, watch the baseball game. I got in trouble when I was a kid because I liked to keep score, because when the Detroit Tigers went to the West Coast and the game didn't start till like 10:30 or 11, I would be in the bed with a little flashlight and my scorebook and pencil with the earphone in my ear, and my mom would come in often and pull it out and say, "You're supposed to be asleep an hour and a half ago." And I'd also get in trouble at school because when they were playing an afternoon game, when school was still going on, I'd still have my earphone and, listen to the ball game and listen to the teacher at the same time. I didn't understand what the problem was. I mean, one of the things you need to learn as an adult is to multitask, right? You need to learn to do two things at once or more. And I thought I was getting good training by trying to listen to the teacher and listen to the ball game at the same time. I was a Tiger fan, but I also like the Chicago Cubs. And I'm going to use the Chicago Cubs tonight to illustrate the theme of my Bible study tonight, how to lose and not be a loser. The Chicago Cubs were founded in 1870. They're the team that have represented one city the longest in Major League history. They started out known as the Chicago White Stockings. In 1890, they were known as the Chicago Colts. In the early 1900s, they were called the Chicago Orphans. And then some sportscaster said they looked like bear cubs playing baseball. Yeah, probably because they were so bad. But they were known as the Chicago Cubs since then. In 1906... they went to the World Series, and they lost to the Chicago White Sox. In 1907 and 1908, they went back to the World Series, and they won both of them. Anybody want to guess who they beat those 2 years? The Detroit Tigers, both years, 1907 and 1908. Since 1908, they have not won a World Series. They, in fact, they have the record in Major League Baseball for being the team that has not won the World Series the longest. They went back to the World Series in 1929. They went in 1932. They went in 1935. They went in 1938. And they went in 1945. But they lost and lost and lost and lost and lost. In fact, in baseball circles, some people call them the biggest losers in baseball. Now, if you're a sports fan and follow the baseball teams this year, you know they're in the National League Central Division, and they're 9 games ahead, and they're in first place, and they're 9 games ahead of the Milwaukee Brewers as of this morning. And if they don't go to the World Series, or if they go and lose, they will be the only team in Major League history that has not won a World Series for a century. For 100 years, the only team in Major League Baseball. Now, I'll just point out to you tonight that losing is part of life. You can't avoid it. There are going to be things in life that we lose. All of us lose things. We lose our health. We get older. Things begin to fall apart and not work as good as they used to and squeak and creak when they didn't lose to. Sometimes we lose our friends. They move to a different part of the country or something happens that breaks our friendship. We lose our loved ones to death. We lose our finances. A lot of people, I can't tell you. I was talking to a guy today. He said, "Oh, my 401k has shrunk the last 2 days." And he told me the amount of money. I said, "Just quit checking it. Why do you torture yourself? Just don't even check." I said, "I haven't checked mine for weeks. I don't know what it is. I don't care. I won't go there. But you know what's going on in the financial markets. If you don't, stock markets dropped 1,000 points as of Monday and Wednesday. Went up a little bit yesterday. But all the financial companies that have been in business for hundreds of years are going out of business, going bankrupt. So we lose our finances. Sometimes we lose our jobs. We don't want to lose things, but we can't help it. I mean, we lose things. It's part of life. And how we lose and what we learn from losing is important. Paul talked about it here in to the church at Corinth. So we're troubled on every side. We got troubles. I mean, you know, we lose things. We're distressed. We're persecuted. I mean, things happen. Sometimes we bring them on ourselves because we disobey God and turn our back on God. Sometimes they just happen. I mean, even to the best of people that are trying to live their lives for God, things happen in their life. And how we lose determines whether we're a loser or not. And so tonight, I want to give you, and I want to use the Chicago Cubs for my first 2 points, and then I want to use an Olympic story for my 3rd point. So if you're not in tune with sports, just sort of go along with the flow tonight and bear with me. There's some good truths that I want to share with you about how we can lose and not be losers. Number one, don't forget your purpose. You say, "Preacher, you're going to visit the same ground you visited Sunday morning?" Yes, I am, a little bit, because Leonard called me yesterday and said, "Hey, they're having a revival out at North Flushing. You want to go?" I said, "Sure, I'll meet you out there." And so we went out there and heard a young man preach, Dr. G.B. Vicks. He was the pastor of Temple Baptist Church in Detroit for a long time. Big church, 10,000 back in the early 50s. And I met him. I got to meet him one time. And I told him this was his great-grandson that preached last night. I said, "You know, I got to meet your great-grandpa one time." You know, he was older in life, but and we talked about that for a little bit. He was preaching a long time, said a lot of things, a lot of good things. In fact, I was looking over at Leonard and Candy. I said, "I wonder how long they're going to sit here." Because, I mean, he went 40 minutes, and then he went 50 minutes, and then he went an hour, and then he went an hour and 10 minutes. I mean, started at 7, we didn't get done until 9. I said, "Boy, if they sat here for an hour, I'm going to start preaching an hour." Just kidding, Brother Harold, don't give me that look. We're going to get done at 7:30. He was talking about revival. And he said the two things that are necessary for revival are holiness and missions. Holiness and missions. And, of course, my mind went back to my message Sunday morning where I said our purpose in life is to tell other people about Jesus and to become more like him and to help other people become more like him. Same thing. And I'm going to mention the same thing tonight, but let me go back to Chicago Cubs. What's the purpose of a major league franchise like the Chicago Cubs? You would immediately say, it's to win games. It's to win. Don't stay out of my preaching, Brother Leonard. Just wait till I get there. You would say it's to win games. Baseball's a game. And so, you know, the purpose of the Chicago Cubs is to win baseball games. And some people would say, no, baseball's a game. It's not if you win or lose. It's how you play the game. And again, you've heard me say that's a bunch of hogwash. I'm going to teach little Aaron that it's not how you play the game. It's whether you win or lose. In fact, he and I beat his mom and dad the other night in a game of Scrabble. And I was telling him, this is the way you do it. This is the way you do it. Chantel said we cheated, but who cares? Anyhow, so if you were evaluating the Chicago Cubs under the purpose of winning games, you would say they're a failure. I mean, if they go another year, if they don't go to the World Series or lose the World Series this year, they'll 100 years they have not won a World Series. And you would just say that is a failure as a Major League Baseball team. But I will tell you that baseball is not a game. It's a business. It's a business. And in a business, it's not winning ball games that's important. It's like Brother Leonard shouted out a minute ago. It's do you make money or not? Do you make money? A few years ago, there was a team in Florida called the Florida Marlins. And they paid a lot of money and hired a lot of good, expensive players. They won the World Series. But after they won the World Series, they went broke. They had to sell all their players. They had to fire their manager and let all their coaches go. Were they a failure or a success? Well, you say, well, if the purpose is to win baseball games, you'd say they were a success. But if the purpose is to make money, they were a failure because they won the World Series, but they went out of business. Chicago Cubs haven't won a World Series since 1908, and yet they are one of the most financially sound Major League Baseball teams that there are. I saw a ranking not too long ago of all sports, football, basketball, and the professional teams, and the Chicago Cubs were third after a football team and a basketball team. I don't remember who they were, but they were third. Every year they make money. Every year they sell out every game. I mean, they were the last one to put lights in their stadium. Used to be all their games were played in the day because they didn't have any lights. They don't have a big stadium, comparatively speaking, to everybody else. I think they only seat about 39,000 people. And some of the bigger ones, you know, seat 40, 50,000 people. And yet, these guys make money year after year after year after year. They won a World Series since 1908, but they pay a dividend every year to their stockholders. Now, let me make the application. And I'll tell you another story. It's been 4 or 5 years now. I married a couple. Only daughter, only child. Daughter was an only child. And the groom came from, he had four brothers. And they got married, and they did great. Did absolutely great. But the bride's parents did absolutely terrible. I was counseling them at least once every 2 weeks for 6 months after the wedding. They couldn't get over losing their daughter. Now, I, you know, tried to explain, well, you didn't lose a daughter, you gained a son-in-law. I said, oh, no, we've lost a daughter. And they tried to run their daughter's household. And, of course, didn't go over very good with her husband, their new son-in-law. And I finally had to get the four of them in the same room and say, look, I'm going to set some rules for you guys if you'll let me, and it'll help you get along better. Don't go over, I said to the parents, don't go over to their house unless you're invited. And I said to the kids, don't invite them but once every 2 weeks. They allowed me to set that rule for them, and after 6 months, things started to get better. You see, here's my point in telling you the story about the Chicago Cubs and the story about this couple. The parents lost sight of what their purpose was. Their purpose as parents was to prepare their daughter for life. Ground her, teach her, instruct her, so that when she got married, she could be on her own, be a good wife, be a good mother. They did a fine job of doing that. But they forgot that when she got married, that purpose, now again, I'm not saying that as a mom you don't give your married daughter advice. I mean, that still goes on. But you don't run their life. You don't try to make every decision. You let go. That's your purpose as parents. When they get married, you got to let go. You got to let them make decisions. You got to let them make mistakes. You got to let them learn. Again, you still give them advice when they come and ask, but you let go. And they forgot their purpose. Mom and dad forgot that raising that child and having direct control, or thinking they had direct control of what went on in her life, was over when she got married. Now, here's the application from both that story and the Chicago Cubs. You've lost something. You've lost something. Maybe your 401k is like my buddy's. It's in the dumper. Maybe you've lost your health. Maybe you've lost your loved one, a spouse. And I'm going to say something that will shock you. Having health, having wealth, having loved ones in our life, spouses, children, and grandchildren, are a blessing from God, but they are not the main purpose why we are here. The main purpose why we are here is what I mentioned earlier, is to tell people about Jesus and to help others and ourselves to be more like him. Now, God puts spouses and children and grandchildren in our life, and we have a special opportunity with them to tell them about Jesus and to help them to be more like him. We have a special opportunity to do that. But that's sort of icing on the cake. I mean, our purpose is to go out and tell everybody about Jesus. Our purpose is to go out and help everybody to be more like him. And when we lose a loved one, when we lose finances, when we lose health, don't get discouraged, because you can still accomplish the purpose why God left you here. You can still do what God wants us to do. You can still tell people about Jesus. You can still help other people and yourself be more like him. I can imagine how the disciples felt when they went out after that 40 days that Jesus spent on earth, and they went out to that mountain and they looked as he ascended into heaven. They felt loss. Felt same kind of loss they did after he was crucified. And that's why the angels came and said, "Hey, look, don't spend your time looking. He's coming back. Go out and get busy doing what he told you to do. Telling the world about him and helping Christians grow and be more like him." And so when we lose something, don't get discouraged and quit. Just realize that what we lost was not our main purpose anyway. It was a blessing from God. And that's children and spouses and grandchildren and finances and health. And you just go down the list. They were all blessings from God. But our main purpose and the reason we're still here is to tell other people about Jesus and be more like him. Holiness and missions, as the speaker said last night. That's our main purpose. I mean, Joseph, when he was sold into Egypt and was a slave and was put in prison, he could have said, "Hey, I've lost so much, I might as well give up. Why should I keep living for God?" But he realized his main purpose was living for God and by the rules and the commandments that his dad taught him, and he kept living and kept pleasing God, and God moved him to a greater position. He didn't forget his purpose. He didn't forget what is the major thing of what his life was about. And so we've lost people, we've lost things, we've lost health. Well, okay. But like Paul says, we're troubled, but we shouldn't be distressed. We're perplexed, but shouldn't be in despair. We're persecuted, but we're not forsaken. And we're going to talk about that in a minute. We're cast down, but we're not destroyed. We still have a purpose that God made us for. And a purpose that he put us here for. And we ought to be busy about that purpose. Yeah, does it hurt when we lose somebody? Sure it does. Are we going to cry? Yes, we're going to cry. Are we going to miss them? Yes, we are. But we need to be busy about the purpose why God put us here in the first place. Again, making it very simple, telling other people about Jesus and trying to be more like him and helping other people be more like him. And so, we'll lose, but we cannot be a loser if we remember our purpose. Number two, while losing what we can't change, we can take good in the joy that remains. Chicago Cubs, again, haven't won a World Series since 1908. But they've had some good things along the way. In 1953, they had a guy named Ernie Banks. How many remember Ernie Banks? All right, Ernie Banks. He was the only player, and there's only been one other one since he did it in 1953, that was chosen the most valuable player in the National League from a losing team. He did the same thing in 1954. And in the 70s, there was another guy that did the same thing. But one of two in all of the National League. One of two. Most valuable player from a losing team. They had a guy named Ron Santos. He played in 1,117 consecutive games. It's the record in the National League. Rich Robinson holds it in the American League. They had a pitcher named Fergie Jenkins. Fergie, who would name their son Fergie? Fergie Jenkins. Probably his name was Ferguson, and they called him Fergie. But Fergie Jenkins, for 6 years in a row, he won 20 games. And then, of course, you probably heard of Sammy Sosa, who hit more home runs than Roger Maris did. They never won a World Series, but they had some good players along the way that they could enjoy. They had a losing record most years, but they had some good things that they could enjoy. Now listen, we've lost some things, but we still got some things that we can enjoy. I mean, I creak and squeak in places I never have before. But you know what? I sure enjoy carrying my little grandson around. I may squeak and creak in a lot more places as time passes. But I hope I'm around when he's 3 or 4 years old that, you know, we can beat his mom and dad in some more Scrabble games. So I may be losing my health, but God has put a lot of other things in my life that I can enjoy. I belong to a great church. We have a good book that this church is based on. We have a bunch of wonderful people in this place. Boy, the church, the building that they have over there at North Flushing, beautiful building, beautiful building. And just for a little bit, I was lusting. I said, man, just think. I mean, their kitchen. I bet you their kitchen was half the size of this auditorium. And I was thinking, you know, Candy, after we saw that last night, those ladies have a long way to walk from the stove to the counter. I think when we build a kitchen, we're not going to build it that big. It needs to be narrower so you guys don't have to walk so far. But one of the guys, it was Wendell's brother-in-law that was showing me around. He said, oh, we got this great building. He said, now the problem is we got to pay for it. And I was thinking to myself, you know what? I think we got a good building. I think we got a great building. And you know what? We don't have any debt. I mean, there's some things we would like, and there's some, you know, we'd like some places to be bigger. But I'm sure glad that, you know, we don't have to worry about how we're going to pay the bills and how we're going to pay off our debt. I'm glad that we're a church that believes in the King James Bible. I'm glad that, you know, we don't get a new version every week and, you know, we have to search it out and find all the words they changed. I'm glad we have something that we can stand on. And again, I'm running out of time, but here's my point. So you've lost some things. Maybe you lost a loved one. But you got grandkids and great-grandkids that think you're the number one grandma or grandpa. Number one, nobody better than you. And again, every single person, I go up and down, I know most of you, and I know something about your life, and we could together identify something that you have lost. But we could also identify together some good things that remain that you can enjoy. And if you focus on what you lost and forget about what you have, you're going to be a loser. And I'm not trying to offend anybody. I'm just trying to tell you how you can lose and not be a loser. Don't focus on what you lost. I mean, don't forget it, but Focus on what you have, because God still put some great things in your life. And then number three, and I'll hurry so I can keep my promise to Brother Harold, even if we lose, finish the game. Finish the game. Don't quit. In 1987, the Chicago Cubs had the worst start in National League history. They lost 14 straight games. And yet, in that year, 1987, they won 90 games, made the playoffs. Now, they didn't get to go to the World Series. But that great baseball philosopher, Yogi Berra, said, "It ain't over till it's over." And it's not. Don't quit. So you failed. So you lost some. Don't quit. Don't quit. Samson lost his hair, his strength, his eyesight, his power, and his position. And yet, at the end of his life, he brought down the house and killed more people as he died than he did in his whole lifetime. He didn't quit. Paul said, "I have finished my course. I've kept the faith. I've done what God has wanted me to do." Say, "Preacher, I'm having a tough time. I'm having a tough time in my marriage. Been some couple tough years." So grit your teeth and get through the next couple years. And then grit your teeth some more and get through the next couple of years. Don't quit. Don't give up. So you've lost some finances. So your 401k is in the dumpster. Well, just, you know, start putting more money in it. Just keep working. Don't quit. Don't quit. I'll close with a story from the 1972 Olympic Games in Munich, Germany. 1,500-meter race. World knew there were only two contenders, Jim Ryan, an American, and Kit Kato from Kenya. They knew it would come down, the gold medal would come down to one of these two guys, Ryan or Kitko. In the semifinals, they both had to run them to qualify for the finals. They both have to run them. But in the final lap of the semifinals, another runner got tangled up with Jim Ryan, and they both went to the ground. Jim Ryan knocked his head on the track and for a moment was knocked unconscious. The other runner who got tangled up with him got up and walked off the track, just went to the sidelines. The American medical staff came out to attend to Jim Ryan, but before they got there, he regained consciousness, got up, and jogged to the finish line. He'd already lost. He had no chance of winning the race. He didn't get to go to the finals. He didn't get to compete for the gold medal. But he got up and jogged to the finish line. He got a standing ovation from those in the stands. They weren't clapping a winner. I mean, he didn't win. He lost. They were clapping for somebody that lost and decided not to be a loser. And tonight, we're going to lose things. We've lost things. But what we do when we lose is important. And we can lose and not be losers. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for tonight, for each one that's here. Thank you that we have this book. Thank you that we can learn from it. And I pray that you'd help us do that. Bless everybody as they go home. Keep them safe. And bring us back again on Sunday. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You're dismissed.